Our identity is really important to us. And if you think it's not, just look at all the ways that you can spend money getting your identity protected from being stolen. Identity theft is a real threat. And discovering our identity or building our identity is a big part of growing up. We need to figure out who we are, and and no matter how well you as a parent, well, I know as I as a parent, tried to teach my daughter and give her good values, when she became a teenager, she had to test it all. And there were some difficult tests that she went through until finally, after she had flunked out of the University of Iowa and was living in Iowa City delivering pizzas, she discovered one day, oh, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. And so she came home, worked to pay off her credit card debt, stashed some money for savings, and went off to massage therapy school. And that was a very significant turning point for her as she discovered a new identity. And not only that, but I'm very proud of her because I always thought she'd go back to college because she was too smart and loved to read too much. But I thought, she's gonna be 40 before she goes back to school. And I was wrong. She went back to school in her 30s, went to the University of New Mexico, had a double major in psychology and women's studies, and graduated summa cum laude. Anyway, she's discovered a new identity. So that's the challenge we all face. Who am I? You know, what is it that my life is supposed to be about? What part does God play in my life? And we struggle with our identity our entire lives. I had this identity that even though I was 81 years old, that I was invincible and I could do anything until I injured my shoulder and discovered that I'd torn my rotator cuff. Oh, that was a blow to my identity. Our church has its own identity too, doesn't it? Who are we as White Rock Presbyterian Church? What are we called to do? Who can we serve? We wrestle with these questions, and it's particularly during this interim time, it's a good time to wrestle with questions of identity. The identity of the church was very important in the first and second centuries, as well as Christianity got started. And in 1 Peter 2, he explores that. And we're going to explore that as well and look at what it might mean for us. So in 1 Peter 2, he heaps up one picture after another. He describes Christians as babies longing for spiritual milk. Yes, you old gray hair people, you are still babies. And spiritual milk, milk is what you feed babies because their digestive system isn't developed enough. They don't have teeth, so they have to have a liquid diet that includes everything. And mother's milk is the most complete diet we can have. Anyway, we are still babies, which means we've got a lot of growing to do. And I've discovered, with my going to college and seminary and getting an advanced degree and preaching for all these years, guess what? I'm still struggling to figure it out. You know, I still have questions. And I still have questions about what I believe, what God is calling me to do. You know, I'm supposed to be retired, but I'm not. You know, I still feel that God can use me. I don't need to retire. And yet, I don't have the energy I once had. And so, here I am, halftime. That works pretty well for me. I don't know how well that works for you all, but it works for me. So we are babies longing for spiritual milk. We're still growing. Peter also describes Jesus as a living stone, the cornerstone or foundation stone of this building called the church. Jesus is the solid rock and the foundation for our lives, as well as the foundation for the church. Jesus is the one that we can count on, the one who will always be there for us. That's a good thing to hold on to, especially when we're going through times of struggle or times of hardship, to remember that Jesus is there for us, yes, and Jesus is the rock, our foundation, and he will not let us down. And then Peter goes on to describe us as living stones. We are being built into a building, the church, not this building, but the spiritual building that is really what the church is. You know, we think of the church often as a building, but it's not. The church is people, is us joined together to form this spiritual building for the worship of God, for the service of God's work in the world. So here is this marvelous picture. We are part of a living building. We are living stones built on the cornerstone of Christ, and we are built row upon row, generation upon generation of Christians, each generation passing their faith on to the next. That's an amazing image for the church. And as the rows of living stones reach higher and higher, the holy temple made up of people like you and me become more and more magnificent, bringing more and more glory to God, the master builder. So as you think about this church, you know, it was started how many years ago? I'm not sure. By a generation of people who thought we should have a Presbyterian church in White Rock. And the church has been through a number of ups and downs. But here we are because of the faith and the commitment of those who have gone before us. You know, that's a wonderful image to hold on to. And it's difficult for us now to imagine what the next generation is going to be like. Will we continue to be as a separate congregation, or will we be a part of other congregations or another congregation in this community? You know, we're struggling to figure that out. That's part of our challenge of our identity. And Peter goes on, he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Here's the part. In order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, that's our purpose, proclaiming the mighty acts of God, what God has done in our lives, in our world, what God has done calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we have this wonderful identity, but our purpose is to tell of the wonderful things God has done and is doing in our church and in our lives. When I did my interim ministry training, they talked about five tasks of the interim period. The first is coming to terms with history. The second is discovering a new identity. The third is, if I can remember, shifts of power. The fourth is renewing our connections with our denomination. And the fifth is commitment to new leadership and a new future. But I think the first two really speak to us today, coming to terms with history, and coming to terms with history is both our past history and our recent history. We recognize the good things this church has done in the past. And at the same time, we look at the wonderful things this church is doing here and now. Our commitment to our community, our commitment to standing with the Native American community, our commitment to helping homeless people. All of these things are wonderful. Our commitments to world missions and helping those around the world who are suffering, who are hungry. This is wonderful what we do. But coming to terms with history means owning up to the difficult parts of our past and our present. And, you look at the history of the church and the split that gave birth to Bryce Avenue Presbyterian Church and their desire to have a church that does not recognize the gifts of women. But we did. And so we ordain women to be elders, deacons, and ministers. And that was an important thing for us to do. That led to some struggles for us. Most recently, we had a pastor who was well-loved. Deb, everything I've heard about her has been pretty good. But she is no longer with us. And we have the loss of her leadership. That's kind of a blow to our identity. And so we struggle with that because so often a church takes on the identity of the pastor. And when the pastor leaves, oh my gosh, who are we? And has God abandoned us? And so we have to discover a new identity that we are still God's people. God has not given up on us. God did not leave when the pastor left. God is still here and with us and working in our church and in our lives. That's an important part of our identity. We are a church that welcomes people who have doubts, questions about all kinds of things of faith and theology. We are people who are not comfortable with easy answers to difficult questions. We are a church that respects the laws of science and the implications of that for our faith and our understanding of the world and God's creation. But we are still a royal priesthood. We are still God's own people. And we are still babies in faith. We need nurture, caring, support of one another as we grow in our faith. We are a church that sees faith not as a destination, but as a journey. Something that is always changing as we move on. And have many people here in many different places in their journeys of faith, still figuring out who they are, who God is, and what it means to be people of faith in today's world. So yes, I reaffirm that it is good for us to have questions, good to be working on our identity, good to wrestle with who we are, good to wrestle with who God is, and what it means to follow Christ, and what it is God wants our church to become. It's good for us to try to figure out the role our church plays in our community, the role our church plays in God's whole kingdom, how we fit together with other churches in our community, and to try to wrestle with how we have to be willing to change because our world is constantly changing. Wow, we're still babies, but we're a royal priesthood, and we can claim both of those at the same time. Amen. Yeah.